Good morning. Welcome to this morning's edition of the Richard Urban Show. We bring you news and views from the education principal point of view. We're happy to have on Kara Keys today. She's running for the vacated county commission seat in the Shepherdstown district, right? So, yeah, please introduce yourself if you want to tell us about your, you know, family or if you're married and things like that, too. Feel free.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, Mr. Urban. So personally, I'm new to politics. So a lot of people in the political realm or educated voters don't know who I am. So I am a young mom, young-ish, I guess, mom of four. I married my high school sweetheart. I definitely come from, if you look at my profile on paper, you would think definitely someone who holds traditional values. I married my high school sweetheart. We got married at 21. At 23, 24, we started having children. And so we have four kids ranging from 8, 6, 4, and 2.
Wow.
So every 2 years, you're, oh, another kid. And then this time it says, oh, I'll run for public office.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Go ahead.
Not really, but things happen, I guess. So I'm a small business owner. I'm a real estate appraiser. I focus on commercial work in three states. I do conservation as well. So I'm, you know, able to appraise all types of commercial real estate. So I have a you know, vast knowledge of zoning ordinance and land use issues, which is a huge part of our issues in the county right now. One of the questions people ask a lot, so I think I'll lead with this, is why are you here and why are you running? And so why I'm here is two previous commissioners were removed from office, which then both the Republican and the Democrats were asked to appoint from their committees, which they had done. And so I am representing the Republican ticket for the Shepherdstown Magisterial District. Why am I running? I am somebody, I'm a president of a civic organization. I lead in civility in every aspect of my life. I think our county desperately needs that. Doesn't mean you waver on your values, but with county issues, really name calling and mudslinging doesn't work for me. So, and I don't think it's working for Jefferson County residents. So, I'm joining this race, leading in civility and common sense leadership needed for our community. So that's my why. So losing my privacy, my family privacy. I have a very supportive husband, but that's my why.
Okay. All right. Let's jump into some of the issues. So you mentioned expertise in zoning. I was also listening to your interview yesterday on WRNR. So that was good to get a little more idea of what you're thinking. So what about like solar development? So right now, correct me if I get anything wrong. So we have by right solar development in the urban development areas, and it can be a permitted use in other areas. Like I know the Blake Solar Farm was split between both. So do you think solar development should be continued by right, or should we remove that amendment that was put in that allowed that? Go ahead.
Yes. So good question. It depends on the votes we get. What I would like to do, option one, because, you know, we need, as we have five commissioners, we need a three vote. And one of the things I want to make very transparent. So I think I hope other candidates will be transparent in this way as well, is the five pending projects, legally, there's not a lot we can do other than denying them financing, like the pilot agreement that was denied for Wild Hill. If they ask for special exceptions or waivers, we can say no without getting sued. But if we tell them after they do a site plan approval, if they ask for a development and they're following all applicable zoning ordinance, if they say no, we will hold the county liable for potentially tens of millions of dollars in lawsuits and damages. And we, from my perspective in the zoning we would lose. And I did talk with, our attorney that represents, and also just land use attorneys. It's a wildly known concept. If you have a planning and zoning ordinance, and somebody, it's like if you have a single family lot and you buy that lot hoping to build a home, and you have, and that's an approved use, and then you go to put a request in to build a home, and they say, "Oh no, you're following all the zoning ordinance, but we don't want you to anymore."
Yeah, well, as I understand, I think it's more like the future,
The
you
future,
know.
yeah, for the future, and this is what we can do, and there's a lot of things that there's a fiscal possibility. So most properties in Jefferson County don't have the physical possibilities when doing solar. You have to have a utility line through it. You have to be close to a substation. Can't be in a floodplain. The topography has to be a certain way. So there's a lot of requirements that these five projects, by and large met. But for future, I don't anticipate a lot more coming in, but let's be careful about that. Let's not assume the best, right? So my first option that I would propose is removing it as a permitted use by right. And by doing that, it will take away that right. So when you have a zoning ordinance in rural that says one of the approved permitted uses is solar farming, which is what it currently stands, that is something that is by right, which is what people talk about a lot in that zoning ordinance. But if we remove it as a by right, then as a permitted use, then that changes things, and that gives us the power, and that would essentially stop future solar projects from happening. Now, if I don't get the votes, say it's a 3-2 and we lose, then we have to go on. My option two would be peeling back the zoning ordinance, having further requirements, further bigger buffers. We have a 50-foot buffer between properties right now. I would ask for larger buffers. The topsoil was a huge problem for Lake Solar. I
Oh
would,
yeah, I saw it running into Shenandoah. I took pictures of it, and actually,
yeah,
complaints were filed several
and
times. But
DEP,
go ahead.
yeah, the DEP. I think there's been a lot of things that are, I mean, Blake Solar from a PR standpoint for solar was a bad one, but I think it. But I think in a lot of ways, it opened everyone's eyes to what this. I think, I don't want to. A lot of the commissioners aren't property experts, right? So they thought this was a great thing. There are some positive economic benefits for taxes. However, when they were being told about, oh, this is what we'd like to do, 500 acres, blah, 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 people maybe didn't understand how much that would be
Yeah,
and
it's
how it would
huge.
look. Yeah, and how it would look. And I don't want to discredit, people have their strengths. And so I think it's really important with my background that, and I'm an unbiased person, I don't profit from development or no development.
Well, let me interject there for a second.
Yeah.
So, conflicts of interest. So it's pretty well known that, the council, not council, commission president has, it works in real estate. And although technically he's not doing anything illegal, but when you make money by selling properties, that's a conflict of interest. Do you have any opinion about that?
It does have an appearance, right, of some, some awkwardness at minimum. I think in the solar case, from what I understand, he's recused himself from all the votes surrounding that. But I think there would be, people even with me, they're saying, "Oh, you work in real estate. Oh, you're profiting," and I'm like, no, I'm an appraiser. I understand real estate without profiting from it. I am hired to be an unbiased third party, impartial person to value a real estate at that time with no strings attached. I don't, benefit from something working or not working. And a lot of real estate agents don't like me because sometimes I'll kill a deal because the money doesn't make sense. And Jefferson County is just one of the many areas and states that I work in. So I get asked all the time from within the Republican Party. They're saying pick a lane. You have to be in the remove commissioner spots or, on this side. And I'm running a campaign. I am new to politics. I am for Jefferson County, but I'm Kara Keys and I'm my own person. What I can promise for myself, and I'm also not going to trash or bash anybody in my
Okay.
campaign. I haven't done it yet and I won't do it.
All right. No worries. Yeah, I just wanted to you to weigh in on like conflicts of interest. Well, you meant, yeah, I know you're talking about in your other interviews too. Like with the commissioners like Prowse and Jackson, a lot of people, and I'll say it myself, didn't agree. Yes, people like myself thought if they would ask me, maybe, and then they didn't ask me, by the way. Although Trisha Jackson is a commissioner and lives in my neighborhood. But anyway, the point is, yeah, maybe they made tactical mistakes. But what I'm getting at is, should have been prosecuted and removed from office. All the people I talk to in the neighborhood, I live in Shenandoah, by the way, they don't think so. They think that was wrong. Do you have any opinion on it? Now, I'm not talking about whether they didn't show up or not. I mean, of course, you can give your opinion on that, but I'm talking about why did the county apparatus? I talked to Matt Harvey myself. I'm not like him, his buddy. I said, why are you prosecuting this? Just drop it. But no, he went ahead with it. I mean, why did he go ahead with that? All the pressing prosecutions, we had to remove our county commissioners, right? No, I don't think so. Do you have any opinion on that angle of it?
Not really. The beauty in in me personally is I was literally the most uninvolved person in this. prior to maybe the spring, I joined the planning commission in April. Locally, I'm like I have this fresh perspective. It's not tainted by anybody. I'm not a lawyer, and I didn't really follow the case. To be fair, I didn't go to any of the meetings. I didn't post anything on Facebook about it. It was out of my process. But when they were removed and seats needed to be filled, this was also happening when a lot of issues started popping up in our county, and they became solar being one of them, high density, lack of services, and lack of civility. I think in that case, you have a civil war within the Republican Party, and it's heartbreaking to me. Without I'm not going to pick a side. Because I think what's happened is a lot of destruction within a party that is good, and we've gotten off track. We need to get back on track and stop playing the blame game.
Okay, let's say, can we segue something else?
Sure.
So this is all tied together. So property tax raised. Now I know the county commission, well, it does have to do with property tax because it does sit as a board of review. And by the way, I recently went to board of review, because I'm involved in a dispute about a property I own that about the rates. So for instance, what I'm wondering is, I found the, how do you say, the method of the board review very perfunctory. It's like I had a lot, I did a lot of research of their properties and kind of things you would know about. You're an appraiser. And I said, this and this and this, this is why it's wrong. And basically, board review said, and I admit that was the time when Krause and Jackson were just pretty well distracted. So, but that doesn't really give an excuse, but they did ask some questions, some commissioners. But anyway, basically, board review overall said, okay, Mr. Urban, here's what you're offering, blah, 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 without really considering the facts, So I'm wondering if the commission, and I had some properties like that, the property itself, a property, it's not like I have hundreds of properties, I basically own my house and one other property, basically. So anyway, the property value in 1 year was raised 130%, double and plus. So I'm challenging that. It's still in process. But my point is, should the commission or does it have the ability to have more oversight? I think that should be investigated. And it's not just me, all the properties around that area that's in Westridge Hills, if you know where that is. But anyway, they were raised up. Anybody who owned a house, their property, land, and any other property they owned was raised 130% in 1 year.
Yes.
Some people might say that's 3 years, but whatever. It seems wrong. I'm wondering if the commission or could have any more oversight over that.
That's a good question. Usually there's laws that stipulate we can't go up a certain percentage each year, but then I guess there's some.
Not in West Virginia.
But there's some loopholes where you can get away with it, I guess.
We don't have that in West Virginia. I think that would be a good idea, like a certain limit, because to me, it's ripe for abuse. And even one of the people at assessor's office told me, well, we can do it.
Yeah. Well, as a Republican, I hate raising taxes. So, and that includes property taxes. I think in Maryland, I think I could be wrong. So, I mean, I know I'm on an air and I am quoted, but I think there's some max, maybe 3% is what sticks in my mind. And it might be within a 3 year period, but I think it's a 1 year. It can't raise more than 3%. I think there's loopholes with that, especially if you develop the property, then that changes the category.
Yeah.
Or
we're talking about like vacant properties. Or
right.
Here we're talking about, for instance, I found that the house values, I think that's a little more stable because, you're in the business, but I think it's the right term. They use the cost method. So, what does it take to build this house? So they can't just suddenly say, oh, it took 100,000. Now it's 300 or 500. But with the land, it's much seems to be, they just say, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. And literally, the value was raised 130% on many properties. And it happened on the property here in Shenandoah, too. They went up the year before. I wish I had challenged that. I was just sleeping like a lot of people. But the next one caught my attention even more. It went up like, I think it went up like 70%. Like where my house is sitting, And not just mine, all a bunch of people. So it's something's going on. It's not transparent, and there's some problems with that or corruption.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. There definitely should be a cap on that. I think especially with any areas that. I mean, I'm looking at it from the hat of a young mom with kids, with daycare expenses and raising 4 kids during inflation, right? But also with an aging population, you have people that don't get that 30% increase in Social Security, but now have that increase there and inflation. How do we help our aging community? How do we help our residents? So a 30% increase.
No, 130. Double plus 30%.
Yeah. Gosh, yeah.
Like in other words, on a little property. Well, here I can tell you. So a little like 2.2, less than 3/10 of an acre. It was appraised at 8,000, and then it went up to like 18,667.
Oh gosh, yeah, that's ridiculous. I know my taxes have raised too. I haven't looked up the percentage.
Yeah. Getting a little off, but I know the county commission does have a role in that. And it seems now perfunctory, but maybe they could get a roll with some teeth in it,
Right, right.
Okay, let's move along from that, though. What about on the issue of property tax, I don't know if I've been working on another issue, the excess levy. That's for the schools. It's 40% of our property tax, and it's very non-transparent in what the money's spent on. So I've asked for more details and still waiting for a new mandatory report that's supposed to list everybody's salaries. But I can tell you that there's 44 central office staff, which is ridiculous for the size of our school board. Anyway, they want it renewed for $25 million, and I say no because, like I asked, I was at the board meeting last time testifying, and I asked. I know this is not – it's related, though, because it's about taxes. So I asked – for more information, and they gave some, but not a lot. But I would say that probably maybe out of the 25 million, maybe they're spending 5 to 7 million on teacher salaries, and a lot of it goes to central office staff and unspecified stuff. But do you have an opinion on the excess levy, whether you would vote for that or not?
To be honest, I actually just got this question this morning or late last night. I need to do more research. I believe this is a renewal of something there. You know, it's an existing.
Yeah, it's been going a long time, and they're getting 23 plus million. And in fact, I did find out from asking, they got almost 6 million above what the levy amount. In other words, they got almost 30 million. And I said in my request, what did you spend the money on? And they get their answer is like, oh, well, it's 80% for salaries and 20% for discretionary. What kind of answer is that? $6 million, you know. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's I think I read somewhere it's 20% of their budget. So if this levy were to be denied, I'm just looking at it from.
I'll send you more information, or you can check our website. But it's a lot of false advertising, in my opinion. I would say I'm going to dive in. They did give me enough statistics so I could figure out how much is actually spent on teachers. But I'd say it's around only 20% actually goes to teachers. So you're talking about possibly 15 million plus going to the bloated central office and God knows what. So, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's something to be aware of. Definitely.
Yeah, it should be. From a just a human perspective, right? Shouldn't the money be going to our teachers, right?
Shouldn't it be transparent? It's like with your budgeting, you know, if, you know, in your household, well, it's just like, or in your company, if you work for a company, it's like, just give me 20 million. Well, what did you spend it on? Oh, well, I spent it on salaries and discretionary spending. Now I want 25 million. I mean, it needs to be clearly broken down, and it's not transparent. Yeah.
It's not my area of expertise, and you know, I don't want to speak on something that I'm not fully educated in.
All right, well, fair enough.
But you're raising some good points, and I'm excited to learn. I'll definitely need to know probably in the next few days what I feel about all of that.
Okay, you mentioned on your interview yesterday with WRNR. That new residential properties that are built lose money for the county. And I was wondering if you could dive into that, or not dive in, but just explain why, if a house is built and it's bringing in X amount of taxes, why would the county lose money?
Well, those taxes don't go to Jefferson County, do they? They go...
No, the property tax I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, property taxes, eventually you'll have money in your pocket, but to develop that property and the impact on all the infrastructure, EMS, schools, you need to have money set aside. And if you don't have enough money set aside, you put that additional burden on the existing residents here. So for example, in Frederick County, Maryland, I think they're a little bit under 20,000 per for impact fees. I think Montgomery County is somewhere around 60,000. Berkeley County is working on getting some. There's been some legislation change recently where because they did not have zoning ordinance, they were able to basically get away with not having an impact fee.
But can I interject something?
Sure.
So we had impact fees. They were high, like $13,000 a property. I've been out here 8 years since I've lived in Jefferson County. So it was that when I moved here, I'm quite sure I'm right, because I had friends who wanted to build something, and it's like, what the heck? They had to shell out $13,000 just before it even could, you know, whatever, put a brick in the ground. So then they were removed and down to $1, nothing, basically. But here's the thing. I was at a commission meeting a few months ago that was brought up by Jane Tabb, who wanted to reinstate them. Impact fees are supposed to be for the schools, maybe also for other things, but to ameliorate the fact that there's more people moving into the like schools and stuff. No, that's for the school specifically, I think. It is. But there's the school enrollment is level and is it projected to decline. Now, there was discussion even, where was it? Oh, at the last Board of Education meeting about that, because they're saying they want to close North Jefferson. By the way, that's not financial because the school's awash in money. The levy's still going on for two more years that we're paying right now. So the point is, the enrollment is expected to go down, not up. At best right now, it's level. Why? Partially maybe because of homeschooling and Hope Scholarship. But also, even though houses are being built, no one can say definitively that that will bring more students. Do the couples have children? Are they retired couples? And for, as you know, fertility rates are down. So I think that's kind of an open question. And I guess I'm being long-winded, but impact fees are only supposed to be added when there's an increase in like enrollment. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so that's a good point. And that's one of the things that people are so upset about is how we have low impact fees right now. They're under $2,000. It really depends on where you live and if you have a townhome versus a single family lot versus living in Charlestown, you know. So there's a different calculator if you go online.
But the schools don't need more buildings
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
$1 currently, they did have a higher amount per development. So it's broken down into categories. And one of them is for the schools. And that's exactly what you're talking about for new builds, new construction. You can do an addition on a school, but you can't do maintenance on an existing school with that money. You can't renovate. So there's a lot of legalities to it. And you're right. It has been a decreasing enrollment, actually. Now, with all the thousands of new homes, you know, we do need to have some proper planning. But the reason why they lowered it from one amount, so it was under 2,000 total, but of that under 2,000, only $1 per development went to schools. And the reason why that was done was because years ago, our enrollment was going down and they actually were not spending, it's my understanding, they were not spending the amount adequately and were going to basically lose that money. And so it was a way to curb that. It wasn't meant to be a political attack on the school, but because of the decreasing enrollment and because there's, you know, when you have a decreasing enrollment and you're not able to grow, you can't, there's a certain amount of time you have to use that.
The impact fee. So is it only supposed, my understanding is it would be for like buildings and stuff like that, or I guess it, or would it be for increased staff, or how does it work? Can you explain it?
Yes, it could be growth of, for example, EMS, first responders, adding additional vehicles, adding, doing an expansion on a building for first responders. If we need to add in any way due to growth in any way, that's where it could be added.
So do we have impact fees now for the fire and EMS?
We do. We just had a study completed, and I don't have the breakdown in front of me, but it's around. So historically, you're right. It was just under 15,000, I believe, around that amount. And then it was raised, lowered to 6,500, give or take. And then a few years ago, it was dropped down to below 2,000. And when it dropped to below 2,000, it really, that's when you saw a lot of development kick up because, you know, it incentivized growth in our county. But with that growth, we're now seeing some negativities with that because we don't have services that can keep up with the demand and the growth of our county. So, you know, there's a happy medium and we have to find that. So that new study that was talked about at the last county commission meeting, there's no vote yet, but it's something that was put on the table. And we do need to figure out a more adequate. Now, with this growth in residential.
Well, let me interject. As the discussion goes on, is it being separated for the school and fire and EMS? Because people like me, and let's talk a little more about fire and EMS because we don't have sufficient service up here in the mountain. But people like me would perhaps support some fees for fire and EMS, which I understand fire, though, is volunteer now. So that's another question, if that even goes to the volunteer aspect. But what I'm trying to say is it's separated from schools because to me, like the schools are already awash in cash. They just collected 6 million extra last year. They want 25 million, which, by the way, I'm urging people to vote against that. You know, they need to be accountable. So they're washing cash money for the schools. So I would not support impact fees for schools. Plus, they just built a school that some people say is not needed in Ranson. If right. you listen to the discussion with like the last Board of Education meeting, the very last one a couple weeks ago. So the point being, schools, no, maybe firing EMS, yes. Has there been that separation in the discussion?
Yeah, so I'm just pulling up now. So if you look up, there's different categories that they have broken down. And the first is your type of dwelling, single family. So there's an actual calculator, and this can be pulled up on Jefferson County, their website. But they have it broken up into separate categories. So first, once you've figure out what type of dwelling you have, where you live, your tax district, the number of units. There's a school impact fee, which is currently $1. Law enforcement impact fee, which is currently, and this is just the auto-populated, $531. Parks and Rec impact fee is $946. EMS impact fee is $100. Administrative facilities impact fee is $44. So with this, I have it. It's it automatically goes to Bolivar Corp single family, and it goes to 1,622. But if you check a different area, it will raise a little bit. So if you're in the Charlestown tax district, it'll go up to.
Okay, but let me ask this question. Now this is really interesting. Yeah. See, most people, I never looked on that. I never saw the breakdown. Just hear this impact fee. So yeah. I know it was 13,000 at one point, or you said even a little more. So was the other 11 or 12,000 for the schools or what? What was the other 12,000 for?
I have no idea what the historical breakdown was, to be honest. I moved here 8 years ago I do not know what the historic breakdown was, but it would be a proportionate share of that 15,000, probably a similar. They used to have substantial impact fees for school. So it would probably have been more in line with the Parks and Rec, if I were to guess. And just for transparency, is every tax district you live in, those impact fees that I listed off change slightly. So the one I gave you was assuming you live in the Bolivar Corp. But if you go to Shepherdstown, Harpers Ferry Corp, Charlestown Corp,
right.
They'll vary slightly, but that was just an example.
Yeah. Of the- well, now you've piqued my interest. I'm going to see if I can find out. Because the schools thing, I think why it keeps passing is people don't know. It's kind of like when I mentioned to you, you said, oh, we want to help teachers. Yeah. I mean, I volunteered at the local elementary school last year. I'm for helping teachers. But like, you know, I'm not for wasting $15 million. And taking 40%, like if you pay, say, $1,500 on your house, $600 of that is the
school excess levy.
And right now, they just managed to somehow blow off $6 million extra plus $23 million. We don't really know what it's for. So I'll put out a report on my website about how much is actually going to teachers. But just glancing at it, it's like 20% maybe. Not half, not three quarters.
Yeah, but to play devil's advocate too, this is an existing levy, and the last thing I would want to do is hurt teachers in our county. So we got to.
Existing for decades.
Yeah,
It doesn't hurt the teachers. It what it helped them to do. What they need to do here's okay. Just I'll put it out there. If they want, and say, let's hopefully say. You know, the residents defeat this levy. They're just going to come back again in 2026 and try to get it passed. If they want a serious levy, tell us how they spent the money. Right now, there's a report, new report coming out. We're going to see the salary of every person who works for the schools. That'll be really interesting because they have 44 central office staff per student, like three times more than in Kanawha County, which has like 47 for three times as many students. Go figure. But anyway, so they need to tell us. If they want, say there's 60 positions or funding like teacher's aides, and they want $7 million, I could get behind that. But if they just have this huge slush fund of $25 to $30 million and 60% goes to central office and God knows what, no. You know
yeah. what I mean? Yeah, so the transparency piece.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah,
So,
like a little pie
well,
chart would
go
be
ahead.
nice, right? A little pie chart would be nice, right?
Yeah. Well,
Like,
I'm gonna make one.
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
telling people vote no on the levy, definitely. Yeah, right. It doesn't expire till 2026 anyway. We're still stuck with it until June 2026, but they're putting it on the ballot now. Yeah, so what do you think? You know, we've talked about it, and maybe it's one of the things you've talked about. What's the biggest issue in our county, you know, right now? What's the most pressing thing in your opinion?
I think kind of like what I said in my interview yesterday, I think a lot of, and this is why I stepped up because I feel like with my background, land use issues are the most critical thing. And there's lots to do with land use. There's the solar, how do we stop it? There's high density residential, which to be transparent, 80% or so is within city ordinances, which we as a county commission don't really have oversight of other than impact fees. That's the city ordinance, zoning ordinance that dictates what can be done there. But how do we have better cohesion? And this is what people talk about in so many different ways. You know, they don't want a Dollar General next to their farm, which is a conservation property, you know, and there should be a better cohesion between our growth and our conservation, our beautiful backcountry. You know, that's why people move to West Virginia. And I know you don't want to
Right.
move and lock the gate behind you. Everyone always talks about that. But how do we do that in a way that is respecting our landscapes? So, you know, I think curbing growth along 349 makes some sense, especially when there's adequate infrastructure in place there. And that, but our infrastructure is greatly impacted by all of this development. As you said earlier, EMS, first responders, there's huge, huge problems on the mountain. There's huge problems in Middleway. Those are the two
Yeah.
areas.
Do we
I
need
talked.
like, well, go ahead. I was gonna
Oh, yeah.
say the fire, like, I think we need a firehouse. We have the Keys Gap Firehouse, but it's not so close to Shenandoah. And they used to have that substation on Mission Road. It seems to be dormant. But I'm thinking we need a firehouse really in Shenandoah. And also we need, this is more a state issue, but the county commission can get behind it. We need an exit from Shenandoah. We have like 5,000-6,000 people with one 2-lane road. If that when that's blocked, there's no fire, no EMS, no nothing.
Yeah, it's actually pretty dangerous on the mountain, you know, the infrastructure in general. My uncle lived on the mountain for a long time, and we always talk about the fact that, you know, the roads are not well maintained. The county residents on the mountain don't feel like they're being heard. There's a lot of infrastructure issues related to the mountain that needs help. And
Yeah.
you guys and you know, people in the mountain are a significant part of our county. So
Yeah, I think there's a down Mission Road, there's got to be over 5,000 people. I'm pretty
yeah, and
sure.
so yeah, so EMS, first responders are definitely a big part of that. But the
Can we
road.
maintain the volunteer aspect that we have, or do we need more? I know we moved to more paid system for ambulance. What about fire? Is it like right now, I was told Mike Mood was telling me in an interview that it would be up to the Blue Ridge Mountain Fire Department whether or not to build a fire station in Shenandoah, or someone could start a new fire department. Is that
Yeah.
realistic? Should the ca Well, I'm trying to say, is our volunteer system sustainable? Should the county have more say? And he said they were building a firehouse in Bardane. That won't do as much good here. Who's building it? Is that the county? Is that some volunteer thing or what?
Yeah. Yeah, with Mike, what's interesting about all of us running is we all have different skill sets we're bringing to the table. EMS first responder, that's not my area of expertise. You know, we all can't have, he's not a land use guy. I'm not an EMS girl, but what we can do is communicate with one another. And I've talked with him a lot. I've talked with some volunteer fire departments, some volunteers that, you know, that regularly help in Shepherdstown, which is the seat I'm representing, to better understand their problems. Right now we have a band-aid over it. We haven't actually solved our problem. We're giving enough to sustain them, but it's not sustainable. They're all of the firehouses, the seven locations, they are having to fundraise to have an operational budget, and that's not sustainable. They should be focusing on saving lives and getting volunteers, and we should be focusing on the budget and getting adequate, you know, money for them. Mm-hmm. So we do have to have a more long term. I know that there's been some agreement amongst all the fire departments about having this kind of cohesion with one another, all agreed and would be eligible for some federal granting and state, which is a good direction. So, you know, this is not going to be my area that I'm going to be taking the lead in. Mike has become one of my good friends, and I will look forward to him taking the lead on this as a volunteer of a volunteer fire chief in Middleway, and he served on the mountain as well. He knows more than anybody, and it would be a disservice to him to try to pretend like I know more than him about his area of expertise.
Well, it's interesting dynamic that the levy was, you know, they wanted to do some study. The commissioners before putting a levy for fire. But it's interesting to me is, you know, that the school budget, is, even the regular school budget, is more than the, let me see, I think I have it. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so on our tax bill, let's see, the county gets about 22.5%, mm-hmm. but the schools get 72%.
Okay.
So that's, even the excess levy is more than the regular school levy. And so the point I'm trying to make is the fire levy would be relatively small. It's just like this school thing where they expect to have this huge thing of cash to do whatever they want. That's got to go. I mean, to me, it's crazy. It's like, okay, the county gets 22%. The schools get 79%. Oh, hey, and we just got $6 billion extra last year because of the rising property taxes. Oh, what'd you do with it? Oh, well, we don't really have to say. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. People like me, anyway, we could support some levy maybe for new firehouses, but then we have this 77% going to the bloated school and mostly administration. It doesn't make any sense.
You know what we really need? We need a commercial tax base to pay for our EMS so we're not taxing our residents. That's a more sustainable solution. So if we, you know, levies are taxes. Right?
Yeah, they are.
And as a Republican, I try to avoid them as much as I can. I understand things happen and sometimes you need to accept the fact that they're there. You know, that's imposing a lot on our county. Things are already hard enough as it is. And as you mentioned, property taxes have risen at an alarming rate in a lot of areas in our county and most of our county. So if we could leverage commercial taxes to adequately fund our infrastructure, first responders, I would be fully supportive of that. We need to have a balanced budget, and we need to make sure we have that so we're not taxing and doing.
So they're not. So this is not. You mean like the fact that if you have a business, say, in you mentioned in another interview, like the Burr Industrial Park.
Right.
So you're paying some. Is that a property tax in your business, or is that what taxes would the business have that would raise the money? I guess what I'm trying to say.
Well, they would bring in a bunch within, property taxes are one, and that would directly go to our, you know, operational budget.
Okay.
So they would be working with the state. They would be paying as an employer. It depends on the business. In some cases, there's personal property looped into it as well. But that the tax base for commercial is one avenue that we do not have enough of in our county. And that's why we have this lopsided system, because we have so much residential, very little commercial. And so you're putting an additional strain on the residents. And most of these people actually work outside in Virginia and Maryland.
Right. A lot of people commute.
Yeah. So, if we have, you know, a business that say is pulling in, hundreds of thousands a year, and we have enough of them, that could help underwrite our problems, without just a band-aid. It's okay. This is a term budgetary thing.
All right. Well, we're coming on time. We're getting to the end here. So, yeah, anything else you want to share with the listeners, how to make their decision? By the way, I noticed you guys both have the more or less the same first name. So this
I know.
Carrie.
Yes. I know. I was on the ballot first. I was like, oh gosh, that's so confusing. I am running my campaign on civility. I won't like name call, but I think this is fair game. I have professional experience that is relevant and desperately needed in our county, along with land use issues. I'm running a campaign that is trying to keep national politics out of it, but I am a Republican with traditional values, and I do think there are some obvious differences between my opposition and myself. People we vote for, people we support. I think it's very different. So I think it just, it's up to the voter. Our values, I think, are a little bit different in that way. And I think I just would do enough for the county to warrant a vote.
So, all right. Well stated. Well, thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
And we'll put it out on, it'll be available on any podcast platform under The Richard Urban Show, and also on our website, visionroot.org. We'll put the video up there. So,
appreciate it. Thank you. And vote for Kara Keys. You can follow me, Kara Keys for County Commissioner, on Facebook. I have a website as well, Instagram. So feel free to follow. I appreciate any support.
Great. Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you.